Our Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for this opportunity you've given us to meet at your feet and listen to your word. Lord, we come to you as needy women, and we need a touch from you every day of our lives, Lord. And we come to you knowing that you will reach out to us and touch us and help us. We are so helpless, Lord, without you. So we look to you again for a fresh touch from you. Bless this time that we are spending together, Lord. Help us to feel your presence. Although we are so many miles apart, you are near each one of us, Lord. And you're near us and you're going to speak to us. So we commit this time into your hands. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, it's so good to see so many of you on the screen and the names of so many others. It's so good that we can meet like this. When Jesus was on earth, many women met him, or he had a chance to meet many women and bless them and met them in their times of need. And we as women are from different cultures. Some of us are from Eastern culture, where women are used to be like that, where women were not treated so well. They were had to live in harsh conditions. Some were treated unfairly, even cruelly. But now it's not like that. Things in places like India have changed a lot. A lot of women have got a good education and they can speak up. In the West, it's been a little different. Women in the West can voice their opinions and they are treated in a kinder way. They have more freedom. But all women in general, we know that many women have faced hardships, born children. Tirelessly, they have lived and worked for their families. Even if they were single, they had to work hard. They persevered. They had a life of dedication and they suffered silently. Many women have excelled in life. When we in a flight and we hear a woman's voice saying, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking," we are so thrilled. Our pilot is a captain. A pilot is a woman captain. And women have done great things in science, missionaries. Many women have gone out as missionaries to work in difficult places, single women, and not complained, and we read about them. Many of them have been leaders in different movements, done social work. And when we think of women like that, we can relate to them, because almost all of us who are now here have had a good education and have had some careers and have done well in life. And I want to talk of a woman like that whom Jesus met and helped. You can guess who I'm going to talk about. That is Martha. Now, I like the name Martha. It sounds so good. Many women, many mothers and parents have named their daughters Martha, because we think of a girl who's serving and helping, and we want our daughter to be like that. Martha was one such woman. And we can relate to her, because some things in Martha we see in ourselves, ourselves too. Capable, good at housework, efficient, good at cooking, thoughtful, hospitable. Martha was like that. Martha and Mary were two sisters, and they had a brother, Lazarus, and they lived in a town called Bethany, which was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And Martha must have been the leader type, or may have been the older one. And they must have seen Jesus and his disciples passing by often on the way to Jerusalem, and she decided to invite Jesus and his disciples to their home. He must have said, She must have said, Lord, you're going this way up and down and you're so tired. Why don't you take a break? Come and have something to eat and refresh yourselves. So she took the initiative and invited Jesus and his disciples in. If we look at Luke chapter 10, we can read an account of that. In Luke 10 verse 38 says, a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And I don't say anything about the disciples, but I guess most of the time he traveled with his disciples. And Martha was very busy because a person like, important person like Jesus coming to your home, can imagine how it must be a lot of work and cleaning and cooking. And the best meal must be provided for Jesus. And she was so busy doing that. And she was taken up with that. But everything was good about Martha, efficient in everything. But she got so taken up with her work that she forgot that Jesus was sitting there. She was so busy. And she saw her sister sitting there, idle and just listening to Jesus. And she must have made some eyes at Martha and said, come, I want to come and help or something like that. But Mary didn't pay any attention. She continued to listen to Jesus. And Martha was so, her temper was just boiling inside her. And she must have thought, look at my lazy sister just listening and I'm doing all the work. So finally she couldn't control her anger anymore. She went to Jesus and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to come and help me. Now those words are very familiar to us. Do you not care that I'm working alone? Do you not care that I'm bearing this workload? Do you not care that all the responsibility of cooking and dishes and everything is falling on me? Do you not care? Do you not care? We are familiar with those words, aren't we? And that's why I can say we can relate to Martha. And Jesus' answer was so correct. He said, Martha, Martha, Martha. He says twice, Martha, Martha. It's like, my dear Martha, it's all words of love. We read in the next chapter, in John chapter 11, that Jesus loved Martha and Mary and Lazarus. So it was a loving word. It was not like a scolding, like shouting at her. It was a loving word saying, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. One thing is necessary. Just one thing. And so we can say, apply that to ourselves also. We can put our names there and say, you're anxious about so many things. You're taken up with your career, your house, your children, and everything else. But there's just one thing that is needful. Jesus used that many times. He told to the rich young ruler who said he had kept everything, all the commandments from his childhood, Jesus told him, one thing you lack. You love your possessions too much. Give up everything and come and follow me. So each one of us, whatever it is, that one thing which Jesus wants to tell us, you're taken up with your profession. You're taken up with something else other than me. You're taken up with having a good name. You're taken up with your family. You're taken up, whatever, fill in the blank. But one thing is needful, and the Lord wants to tell us there's one thing that is lacking in your life. And the Lord wants to speak to us and tell us what is that one thing that is lacking in our lives. He could have told Martha, Martha, you are worried about too many things. Just listen to me. That's what Mary is doing. Mary is doing that one thing which is needful. That she's listening to me. Just listen to me. I'll help you. I'll give you wisdom how to run your life. I'll give you wisdom how to plan. Just like he would tell the church in Ephesus, he might tell us, Martha, or put our name there. You've lost your first love for me. You're taken up so much with working and doing this project and that project, but you lost your love for me. Come back. Come back to me and spend that time with me, and I'll teach you many things. I'll teach you how to do things in a better way. And listen to me. So Martha took that advice. I want to tell you that Martha could have thought, oh, Jesus doesn't appreciate what I'm doing for him. All this cooking and cleaning and everything, and keeping everything ready, instead of correcting my sister and sending her to help me, he's scolding me or giving me an exhortation. I'm not going to be hospitable anymore. I'm not going to invite him ever again to my house. I mean, that's how humanly we can take. We can say, if somebody corrects us and gives us an exhortation, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to invite him. I'm not going to cook. That's how she could have taken it, but she took it in a good way, as we see later in her life. What does the Bible speak about hospitality? If you read in Hebrews 3, verse 2 and 3, it says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Whom do we think of? That was Abraham. He saw two people coming to his tent, and he said, please come and refresh yourself, wash your feet, and have something to eat. And they were actually angels. So then in 1 Peter 4:9, we read this verse. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. The only condition that we are told for hospitality is don't grumble. Don't complain about, oh, I have to do this, I have to do that. Because God knew that along with the hospitality, when we do entertain people, there's a tendency to grumble and complain. Grumble and complain about our lot, or grumble and complain that others are not helping, like in Martha's case, or grumble and complain that why am I the only one to do this? Why can't somebody else in the church do this? All kind of grumbling can come in. That's why that word is, the Lord adds this word, show hospitality without grumbling. There are other verses also about grumbling, about hospitality, which I don't have time, but we can write down if you have a paper and pencil. 1 Timothy 3:2, 1 Timothy 5:10, Titus 1:8, and Romans 12:13, about showing hospitality. That how it's important for us in our Christian, as Christians, and those of us who want to have a godly life, elders especially must be hospitable. Those who want to be a wife of an elder, duty is to be hospitable. Open our homes to have people in our homes and provide for them whatever we can. There's no rule that we should have a big grand banquet for them, but whatever is in our ability, we should do. And then there's one good verse that we can remember. In Hebrews 6:10, it says, God is faithful, who will reward us. Let me read that verse. Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unjust to overlook your work and the love you have shown for his name in serving the saints. So God is not unjust. He sees. And he also says that even if you give a cup of cold water to the least of his children, if you give a cup of cold water, you will get your reward. So, yeah, that's in Matthew 10:40-42. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to these little ones, because he is a disciple, will not lose his reward. So the Lord has kept a reward for those of us who want to be hospitable, but we have to do it in the right way. What is the right way? What is the wrong way of showing hospitality? I think of my childhood days when I used to visit my mom's hometown. It was a village in Kerala. And there was a short road, main road to go to my grandmother's house. But there was a shortcut which we had to walk through the paddy fields, and there was a stream. We had to wade through that stream and a little path which we could take to our grandmother's house. And most of the time my uncles took us that way. And the thing I remember about that stream is we had to follow my uncle and go the path that he took when he wades that stream. And if you go a little to the left, the stream would be so deep and we could even drown in that stream. But if you follow my uncle's path, it would just come up to our ankles or knees where the water would come, and we could walk through and come to his house. And I often think of hospitality like that. If you go the path that God has provided and shown us through different verses in the Bible, then we are safe. But you go a little to the left or a little to the right, then it's so deep that we can drown. We can drown in that desire to be hospitable. It can overwhelm us. It might be too much for us to handle. That's how it is, I found. Sometimes in my younger days, when we had church meeting at our home, I would want to have a grand meal as much as can, as I could, some new recipes and some, and sometimes it wouldn't come out as I wanted it to come out. And the Lord was teaching me a lesson. So many lessons he was teaching me. You're trying more than you're able to handle. Because and there, when you try more, you expect others to come and help. And you have that blaming spirit. And you, all because I tried to do more than what I could handle. Or sometimes we want to please people and get a good name for ourselves that we are a good cook. And they say, but can you give me the recipe for this thing which you made? It came out so well. And then we get a good feeling. We want to honor for ourselves. We get a good name for cooking. Or we have a competition like so-and-so just provided a simple rice and dal, but I gave something else and some special curry which was so tasty. That spirit of competition. Those are all the wrong ways of hospitality. We make demands on others. Why didn't somebody come and help me when I had this big crowd coming? But we don't forget that we are the ones who chose that. Nobody asked us to do. Maybe somebody did, but we could have made it simpler. But we took on more than we could. And then in Matthew 13:22, we read this verse, these words about the sower who went to sow. And some of the seed fell among thorny ground. Those thorns are like people who take, who have the cares of this world, which come and choke the word which is sown in our hearts. Cares and trials of this world, those come and choke the word. And the Lord wants us to be careful. Listen to God's word. That's the priority for us. Don't let the cares and anxieties of this world come and choke the word, seed which is sown in our heart. But in Martha's case, I feel there must have been more things. I think Mary must have wanted to help her. And being the younger sister, she must have wanted to give a helping hand. But some of us, like mothers who had a lot of experience, we don't want our children to come and help us because we think they're not good enough and they're not smart enough, or they may do something wrong. Martha must have been like that. And Mary must have sensed, if I go there and help now, I'll do something wrong. I better keep out of the way. She may have, Martha must have conveyed a spirit of superiority. I am the older one. I am the smarter one. I am efficient. I can do things better. Mary, don't come here. In the past, Mary must have felt that timidity. That's maybe why Mary may not have come. Do we have that spirit when somebody wants to help us and we think that my way is the best way? My children may mess it up. Or a younger sister who doesn't know about Indian cooking, she may do something wrong. Or the vegetable may not be cut correctly. Or the onion may not be cut correctly. Or it might come too dark, fried too dark. Especially when a person, important person like Jesus comes. Important people are coming. They may not do. So sometimes in our hospitality, we might be inhibiting and putting a restraint on someone. Say, no, I don't want you to come. You just sit there. In the past, Mary may have had that experience. So she thought, I better keep out of my sister's way and sit and listen. There may have been things like that. So, or we may be a perfectionist type. Martha may have been a person who does everything to perfection and capable and strong and so hard on others that people keep out of it. That's why I said we can see so much of Martha's spirit in us. Even if we are efficient and we are good at some work, we can see that Martha spirit which we can cleanse out of us. We can judge ourselves and say, Lord, show me where there is a Martha spirit in me. Show me where I am boastful about my strength and I am good at something and I don't let others come and help me and I want to judge myself. I can see when I read these words, I can see so much of Martha in me. But I can see also the change that the Lord has done and is still doing in my life. That I don't want to be that strong Martha. I want to let go and let Jesus take all the glory and let Jesus do a work in me so that I can be hospitable, but do it in the right way. Then another thing which comes out of this is a feeling of self-pity. Now, self-pity is such a big giant, the biggest giant you can think of. And especially for us women and mothers, that self-pity is the giant which can throttle us. It's such a powerful weapon that we can use. We feel sorry for ourselves and we can use it as a weapon to make others feel bad. Make our loved ones feel bad that they're not doing enough because of the self-pity and the words that come out because of self-pity. We can manipulate others because of the self-pity. We can control others. We can enslave others because of that self-pity, the words which come out because of self-pity. And we can use that self-pity to our advantage. That's why self-pity is such a big giant which the Lord can help us to slay and conquer. So instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, when we are tempted to have self-pity, we should feel sorry for the ones whom we have hurt because of our self-pity. The ones we have, some words may have come out and we have hurt, some words of demand, and we may have hurt that person. So instead of feeling sorry for ourselves, let's turn and feel sorry for the people whom we have hurt because of our self-pity. That's why I said Martha is such a good example for us to learn and to. When we look at the mirror, we don't see Martha, but we see ourselves. And we say, Lord, I want you to change me. I don't want to use self-pity because of the work which I built up on myself. I carried my own burden and because of that, I've had self-pity and I've used that self-pity as a sword to harm people. Please forgive me. Help me, Lord, to be a different person. And Martha became a different person as we read. We read that if you turn to John chapter 11, we read a different Martha. Now, because Martha had invited Jesus so many times to her home, she got to know Jesus and his disciples personally. If she had said, no, I'm not going to invite Jesus anymore, no more meals, I'm not going to have this trouble of this great burden of hospitality, she wouldn't have got to know Jesus. So in a time of need, we turn to John chapter 11. There was a big testing which came in that family. Their brother Lazarus got sick, and they sent what they felt free enough to ask Jesus. Jesus, Lord, our brother is sick. Please come. And Jesus loved them. It says in John chapter 11 verse 3 says, so the disciples sent word to him, said, Lord, he whom you love is ill. Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he still stayed 2 more days in that place. Jesus had his own way of solving that problem. We know the end. But how Martha and Mary must have felt. Why isn't Jesus coming? Our brother is getting worse and worse and Jesus is not coming. When will he come? They must have been waiting. But Jesus waited till Lazarus became worse and he died. And he was 4 days in the grave. Then Jesus came. Now, when Martha heard that Jesus was coming to Bethany, he was still a long way off. She ran. And the old Martha could have said, Lord Jesus, didn't you hear the message? Why didn't you come? Why didn't you come? And now you're too late. Or she could have got angry. I don't want you to come. You didn't come when I needed you. Now don't come anymore. That would have been the natural reaction of a person like Martha. But she just said, Lord, verse 12, Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But verse 22, even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. She had that faith. It was not the same scolding Martha. God had done a work in her and her respect for Jesus had grown. And she said, Lord, sadly, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now I know God will answer your prayer. And she only thought that on the resurrection day, Lazarus would rise up. But Jesus had more for her. She didn't have to wait for the last resurrection day which we're all waiting for. She said, believe. Jesus told her, do you believe this? Your brother, even though he dead, he shall live. Verse 27, she says, yes, Lord. I believe that you are Christ, the Son of God, who is come into this world. She got the revelation. Because of the Lazarus' death, she got the revelation which many people didn't get at that time, that Jesus is the Son of God. Through that sickness, she got that revelation. And then she went and told Mary, come, the Master has come and he's calling for you. And we know that miracle which Jesus did. Now, if she had not been hospitable, she wouldn't have known Jesus personally. She would not have been corrected. But she would have had this great spiritual blessing in her life to know Jesus as the Son of God and see a miracle happening in her life. Not only Jesus, she thought Jesus would just heal Lazarus, but Jesus did a greater miracle by raising Lazarus, the dead Lazarus, to come back to life. And that kind of miracle which happened didn't come. She had to face. She got the blessing, but and through her that blessing, many people came to know the Lord as the came to believe in Jesus. But there was also reproach which came. If you read the next chapter, the same chapter, verse 45. Some of them believed, but many of them went and told the Pharisees, and persecution started coming. Many times when the Lord comes into our lives, he corrects us, he changes us, he does a work of transformation in our life, but there's also persecution that comes. Don't be surprised when persecution comes, when we come closer to the Lord. It all started because of her hospitality, but one step led her to a higher and higher step, and she had to face persecution. She must have heard all these grumblings with these Jews were saying, and she thought, oh, they not only want to kill Jesus, they want to kill Lazarus also. That's what we read in the next chapter, John chapter 12. They wanted to kill Lazarus because through this miracle, a lot of people are believing in Jesus. So she thought, oh, my family is in danger. They want to kill my brother also. And we should not be surprised when persecution comes. The Lord won't test us more than what we are able to bear. At one time, it was just correction because of hospitality. But God leads us to a higher level when we can face persecution and we can say, Lord, I'll face anything for you. You've done so much for me. Then we read another level with God led Martha to, and that you read in John chapter 12. We read that 6 days before the Passover, they invited Jesus and his disciples to their house. And there was Martha, they served a grand dinner. And here also Martha was serving. See a different Martha now. There's no complaint in her, no competition, no blaming, no rivalry with her sister. Her sister did a greater work this time. Last time her sister Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. But this time Mary took a pound of ointment, very expensive ointment, and anointed the feet of Jesus in front of everybody. And Martha could have felt jealous. My sister, she's doing this now. The last time she was just sitting at Jesus' feet. Now she's anointing the feet of Jesus with that expensive. All this money being wasted. She could have felt like that, but this was a different Martha. She rejoiced. There was no rivalry or competition. She just continued serving the Lord without any complaint. And that's how the Lord wants to change us. Instead of her complaint, it was Judas whose complaint. He said, why all this waste? And Judas, when Jesus corrected Judas and said, leave her alone. She has done it for my burial. Judas got offended and he decided to betray Jesus. Judas took the correction in a wrong way. To such an extent, he got so offended that he was ready to betray Jesus. But Mary, Martha, the little correction which God gave her, Martha, you're humbled, you're bothered about so many things. Mary has chosen the good part. She took that correction. And she continued to serve and she did a wonderful thing, an example for us. Instead of her troubling Mary, she learned. I'm going to learn from Mary. I'm going to choose that good part which God, which Jesus praised her for. I'm going to learn from her. I'm going to be a different Mary. So, those are some of the lessons we can learn from Martha. I want to just summarize a little bit of the spiritual lessons we can learn from this wonderful lady, Martha. We must take correction well. Whenever anybody corrects us, don't be hurt by that, but take it. Even if we heard your correction in the church is given in a general way for all of us, don't think that, oh, why is he saying in such a hard way? Can't he say it in a gentler way? No, whatever we hear in the church or from our elders or from our husbands, take it in a, take that correction in a good way, and it'll do good for us. Hospitality, do practice hospitality in a good way. Not to get a good name for ourselves, but the Lord will guide us. Do it according to our means. How much we can afford, how much our husbands can afford, let's do that. Not in a competition or to show or to exhibit some new recipe. No, nothing carnal, but just in a spiritual way. Lord, you, according to my ability, the strength which I have and the means which I have, I can only do this. I'll do that for your glory. Because there's this verse, Colossians 3:17, there's this verse. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Is it cooking? Is it serving? Is it sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to his word? Whatever we do, or helping someone, whatever we do, God gives us the opportunity to all to the glory of God. And God, it is the Lord who will reward us. Hebrews 6:10, I said that verse. A reward comes from the Lord. Don't look for any reward. You think, oh, I invited this big family and they didn't even bring a box of chocolate for my children. Don't let any such carnal thing come into our heart. Lord, I'm doing it for you. Even a cup of water which I've given to somebody, you're going to reward. My reward is coming from you. So don't expect any appreciation or reward or thank for anyone. But let all our thanks and all the thanks and reward come from God. And then in Hebrews 12 verses 5 and 6, it says, the Lord corrects those whom he loves. God, Jesus loved Mary and Martha just the same. And he corrected Martha and he praised Mary. He loved Mary well enough to praise her. But he loved Martha just the same. And that's why he could correct her. He knew that that correction would change her. She'll take that correction in a good way. And even if he corrects us for our good things, we can, our strong points. Martha, you're a good cook. Martha, you're hospitable. Martha, you're just loving to everybody who comes. You're so thoughtful. But we can do even that. Our service to the Lord in a better way. So whatever way the Lord corrects us or leads us, he always has our good in his mind. In Jeremiah 29:11, it says, God is planning our good. He has surprises for us, whatever you do. Let me read that, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Call upon me, pray to me, and I will answer. Seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you, declares the Lord. So the Lord ultimate plan for us is that he has our good. He sees how hard we are working, but he has our good in his mind. And Martha, the Lord tells us, Martha, one thing is needful. In our case, he might say, call us by a name. My dear child, there's one thing needful in you, in your life. You're taken up with this, you're taken up with that. Your priorities are not right. All that I need is your love. I don't need all this activity. I don't need all these extra things which you're doing. It's not activity. It's love that I want. It's devotion to Jesus devotion to me that I want, Jesus says. I want you to listen to me. Sit at my feet and listen to me. Hear my voice. And I'll help you to do things better, in a better way than you're doing it. I'll change you. You'll find that you're a different person when you're sat at my feet. So let's listen to the words that Jesus always wants to speak to us. Take time to spend at his feet. You know, Martha could have, there's a lot of work to be done. The Lord knows there's a lot of work in our home. But Martha could have listened to Jesus while he was talking to his disciples and to Mary. Jesus didn't speak in a soft voice. Jesus' voice was so powerful that thousands of people could hear him at the same time when he spoke in an open field, open air, on a mountain top or wherever, on the lakeside, standing on a boat. So when he's in a room and he's speaking to Mary, Martha could have easily heard, but the voices inside her were so strong, and grumbling and complaining. Those voices were so strong that she couldn't hear the voice of Jesus speaking in the same room maybe, or in the next room. That's why it is when we hear the voices of our flesh and our complaint and what other people think of us and what a good name we want for ourselves, all those voices are so loud that we don't hear the Lord's voice. We can still do our work. We can still work for our children, our family, cook meals, cook the best meals, cook better and better meals, newer meals, make mealtime interesting for them where they can look forward to mommy's cooking. We don't have to stop doing all that, but we can hear God's voice, Jesus' voice, wherever we are. Spend a little time, sometime in the morning or evening, hear his voice, read a small portion of scripture, and he'll lead us to the right words, and he'll keep speaking to us. While we are doing our work, we can hear his voice speaking to us and telling us, you can do better. I love you. I'm caring for you. I'll provide your need. I'll take care of this situation. I'll help you to have wisdom to deal with this child of yours who's sick or who's rebellious or who's not listening to you. I'll take care of it. Just listen to me. Don't follow your own wisdom. I am here to help you. It's so nice that we can hear Jesus' voice in every situation throughout the day. We don't have to go into a cloister room and put our towel on our head and read the Bible. Wherever we are, Jesus can speak to us in our hearts through some song or through some words which we are hearing or something which we heard in the meeting. Whatever, wherever we are, we can hear God speaking to us. And we praise and thank God for the Holy Spirit who's poured in, Jesus, God has poured in our hearts. And we can hear him all the time speaking to us from within our heart. He speaks to us and says, stop what you're doing. You're doing too much. You're worrying too much. You're anxious too much. Cast that on me. And God will take care of you and help you to do better. In closing, I want to just read this words of this song, which we all know, sitting at the feet of Jesus. First, I thought I'd ask Roseanne, if we could sing it, but then finding the words and all will take time. But maybe some other time we can sing it. But I'll just read that verse. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, oh, what words I hear him say. Happy place, so near, so precious. May it find me there each day. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, I would look upon the past, for his love has been so gracious. It has won my heart at last. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, where can mortal be more blessed? There I lay my sins and sorrows, and when weary, find sweet rest. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, there I love to weep and pray, while I from his fullness gather grace and comfort every day. Bless me, O my Savior, bless me, as I sit low at thy feet. Let thy glory shine upon me. Let me hear thy voice so sweet. Give me, Lord, the mind of Jesus. Make me holy as he is. May I prove I've been with Jesus, who is all my righteousness. So may we be like Martha, work hard for him, and be like Mary, sitting at his feet, listening to his word. Shall we close in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all the words you've given us in your word. And thank you, Lord Jesus, for your life on earth when you met so many women and you met their needs. We also, Lord, come to you with our need. We have so much to do and so little time, but we pray that you'll help us to have our priorities right, that we can love you with all our heart and give you the devotion of our heart and live lives that are pleasing to you, the short life that you've given us, because one day we'll come to you and stand before you and give an account of everything that we have done on this earth. So help us, Lord, to please you, to make you happy. Thank you for your word and all the examples and all the corrections you've given us. Help us to be humble, Lord, to receive everything from your blessed hand and live better lives. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.